Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live imaging Tuesday, a few minutes after noon, 12 p.m. that is, Slee. Travis and Sliwa, as we get ready, Super Crosstalk coming up at 12:55, and hopefully you're going to ask Ireland about the toss tonight at halftime.
Yeah, so, I'll get a little bit of
So Slee's going to have to toss to the Pau Gasol retirement ceremony tonight, and you've never done a live toss to a big event. This is your first time.
Like this, yes. I've never thrown a live
And you don't want to step on it, like he did when he stepped on the Chainsmokers during the Rams halftime.
That's not
Well, you
true.
Didn't time it out properly, so all of a sudden you're out of the field of the Chainsmokers.
No, because we weren't quite sure when the Chainsmokers were coming out.
I see our boss, the great Amanda Brown, is in there. Now, Amanda, are you concerned?
Not at all.
You're not concerned that Slee will not be able to toss on time, that he'll go 30 seconds short?
There really is not. There is no such thing as tossing on time, to be honest with you.
Well, but somebody's going to speak.
Well, yeah, but I've seen the rundown, and there's a video, and then there's like, you know.
Morales is very concerned.
Else.
But at some point, Slee has to toss to somebody.
Yes, but you do realize that this is radio, right? So he can really toss whenever he wants, and the
you
listeners
can do a soft
are going to have no idea. Whether it's right or wrong.
But you will know inside, Slee, that you blew the toss.
Sliwa.
You will come in here tomorrow and you will tell us the truth.
No one is rooting harder for you to blow the toss
no,
than
Morales,
Chris.
No matter what, even if it's
Cappy
a perfect
is my
right
home, but I just texted him and told him, at halftime, I need to be able to talk to Slee. And tell him, hey, listen.
Pull over on the freeway.
We didn't
just
tighten
up.
No, apparently we're going to the game. Who knew?
Oh, okay.
Of course, that's Cappy. He doesn't tell me these things. I asked him yesterday, are you going to the game? Because I'll get on the train. Oh, no, we're good. No, apparently we're not good. Anyway. So,
don't
Slee,
blow the toss.
Yeah. You don't want to blow the toss. Amanda's been doing this a long time, and she knows best. But still, yeah. If I was you, yeah. I would want to practice this with Ireland.
I feel like you're more nervous than anybody.
It's your first time.
But here's the problem. I'm the one that's given him the timing. So if he blows it, you can also blame me.
So from the open, because we want a tighter open tonight, right? We want a tighter halftime open.
Yeah, it'll be a quick open.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to get back to this because everyone's signaling for me to stop. So Travis and Sliwa continues right now.
That's awesome.
Should the Rams go get Lamar Jackson? Because apparently they might be able to. This is from Adam Schefter. The Ravens sent notice to the NFLPA that they placed the $32.41 million non-exclusive franchise tag on quarterback Lamar Jackson. He is now allowed to negotiate with other teams, but the Ravens have the right to match any offer sheet he signs or take two first-round picks in return. So basically, there's two types of tag. There's the tag that basically gives you all the money, but you're locked in. You have to take it. Then there's this one, which is, here's the number. Go shop it around and see if you can do better. And if you do, we can decide whether we want
to
match
it
or not. Lamar Jackson, pretty good player. Pretty exciting player. Like, people get on board with Lamar Jackson, I think, very, very quickly.
Listen, I'm a fan of his style. I'm a fan of his game. He's had a lot of success in Baltimore. Not the success you want in the postseason. But are people just done with Stafford?
I think Stafford may be done. Not like, but look, there was a story that came out that basically he couldn't throw the ball all season last year, that he was just badly banged up. There's still buzz that he may walk away at some, that it's not, even though he said, I'm playing. It's just, and the Rams are in a weird spot that Floyd's on the block, Ramsey's on the block, that they're trying to trade Allen Robinson. They've already cut Bobby Wagner loose. They got a bunch of their biggest stars are either on their way out or already out. That's a hell of a way to kind of restart.
All right, you're the Rams guy. What would you do?
No. Not a chance. I want the kid that's playing for SC. Mm-hmm. I want him. Younger, cheaper,
so
local.
Play out this year.
Yeah.
Not knowing Stafford's health, but it sounds like.
Well, it's different. All of a sudden, it's really kind of obvious what they're doing, right? This doesn't. Let me ask you guys this. Have you read or seen, and I read everything there is to read about the Rams and listen to everything there is to listen to about the Rams, is anyone saying that, hey, listen, everything that could go wrong with them did last year, they're not nearly as bad as they look, they're going to be fine. You've seen that anywhere?
Yes, you. Remember when you listed, and they were fair, it was a fair list.
It's a long list, but the consensus seems to be this is a team that's in transition and they need to start thinking about what's coming next.
Yep.
That Sean McVay may be on board with a look, there's a difference between we've got a bad team and I'm ready for a bad team and we're going to start rebuilding this too. I thought we were going to be really good and we were lousy, which yep. is what it was last year. Mm-hmm. Just the mindset of that whole thing is different. I think there's a chance that they could have another season like they did. It's not guaranteed, but they mm-hmm. could have another very tough season. Caleb Williams is the prize, not Lamar Jackson. Caleb Williams is the prize at the end of that tunnel as far as interest, local, authentic,
yep.
homegrown. Mm-hmm. Like all of these guys we talk about, other than Cooper Kupp, they're not homegrown Rams. They're St. Louis guys that came here, were traded acquisitions. Mm-hmm. Kupp's kind of the local dude.
Well, here's the problem. How many teams this year that by the time you're 7-8 weeks into the season and they know we ain't going anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do those teams start saying there's going to be 10 teams that say, yeah, it's in our best interest to go the other way than to go forward? Rams might, by the way, might be one of those teams. But what you're competing with, the chances to get Caleb Williams versus the actual opportunity to get him versus a player like Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying go get Lamar. I think my question is more what's Stafford's health going to be? The question of, or the opportunity of trying to get someone like that versus someone that could basically be there if you meet the right number, Baltimore probably.
It's a hell of a way to reboot it. Mm-hmm. He'll be back in Baltimore. That seems like one of those. Everybody's going to song and dance and do their thing, and he's going to end up right back where he started. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet, and you and I are not going to care that much about it. We talked about
no, we wanted him to
yesterday.
Be a Raider.
Yeah, I guess he still could, but it seems very unlikely. All right, let's go back to the Lakers for a sec. Powell, tonight is the retirement ceremony. We've talked about the Lakers getting back into the finals, winning the conference, or at least getting a deep run in the conference. We've talked about the Clippers. We've talked about the teams at the top.
Everybody.
We've talked about the Nuggets being the number one seed. Memphis is the number two seed. I'm going to skip over the number three seed for a second. Golden State has the pedigree. We're talking about the Phoenix team that has Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton. You're talking about a Dallas team with two megastars in Luka and Kyrie. The Sacramento Kings are the third team in the West,
yeah.
a half game behind Memphis
say,
for the second
by
spot.
By the time today's all said and done, I don't know what their head-to-head is. Yep. They might be the number two.
They could be the number two team in the Western Conference, and no one is saying, hey, you know who could actually win this conference are the Sacramento Kings. Taylor, give me a scenario where the Sacramento Kings win the Western Conference.
I think the reason that you talked about that bodes well for the Kings is that they haven't been talked about this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure isn't on them. It's on teams like Denver to not choke away Joker's glory years. It's on the Grizzlies without John Moran. It's on Phoenix, Dallas to kind of get their act together. Another reason is the Kings' road record. To win in the playoffs, you have to win on the road, and they have the best road record in the entire Western Conference.
That's a great stat, by the way.
Also, they have an unselfish 1-2 punch in Fox and Sabonis. So you also know who's going to have the ball at the end of the game in clutch time. That's De'Aaron Fox. He leads the league in clutch points and shooting percentage in the clutch moments. And Sabonis, he doesn't have to score to affect a game. He can lead, or he actually is leading the league in rebounding, and he leads the Kings in assists. He loves getting teammates involved. There's a bunch of reasons here, and I'm knocking on wood, but the Kings have had a pretty healthy season thus far. They also have a championship coach, Mike Brown, and a little bit of championship experience with Harrison Barnes. I just love the fact that not everybody's talking about him because
nobody. That's a compelling case for I don't think they're going to win the West, but that's a case why they could at least hang around for a while, make it really, really interesting. The Lakers and the Clippers, the Lakers are below the line. The Clippers are barely hanging on inside the line.
Yep.
And they get it to, the Clippers will throw it in gear. LeBron and AD down the stretch, if they're healthy, you don't want to mess with them. They're a half game out of the number two spot.
So I actually think, and the Kings get this much worse than everybody else, but let me just give you a great example. You know who basically nobody is picking to come out of the Western Conference for the most part? If I told you, hey, there's five different people other than Sacramento, there's five different people that cover the NBA.
Denver.
It's very rare when people say Denver, okay? And I think there's This is very common in every sport. Until you actually make it to the finals, there's hesitation to pick that team in the finals. Mm-hmm.
You know what the exception to that was? When the Warriors went for the first time a few years ago. Like, people saw the Warriors coming, even though they hadn't. I think the Clippers beat them in the first round that
one. They did early on.
And it was next year, the Warriors are going to be a real problem, and they were, and they won a championship that in the very next season.
The difference with the Sacramento Kings, this is why it goes to another level. They haven't made a playoff since 2006.
Right.
So this isn't a team that, hey, well, they were there last year and they lost in the first round. And they were there the year before and they lost in the first round. I think it's just natural. Listen, I'm a fan of, I got no problem with teams like that that are under the radar. They don't need the attention. They're representing a market that really cares about them. I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that kind of that underdog team. But when you... None of these guys have ever been to the playoffs together. Mm-hmm. That's why there's that hesitation. Even a team like Denver, who's got the best record in the West, have been to the playoffs a couple years, have guys. Remember, they went got to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. Even them, they're not getting the respect.
So I got a question for you, Taylor, as for, whether or not the Kings could be vulnerable to what I'm about to lay out for you. Okay, having not watched them nearly as much as you have, you tell me this. Is there a potential of we've already accomplished what we wanted to accomplish? We're good. We're in the playoffs for the first time, which I'll say since 06. We are no longer the laughingstock of the league. That just being in the playoffs is an incredibly successful run. Therefore, the urgency, the opportunity, this isn't a, hey, this might be our only shot. We got to get this done. We've already accomplished something that nobody thought we could do.
I think that's more so with the fans. Like, as a fan myself, I'd be happy, you know.
First round exit, you're still okay?
I'd be okay. I can, you know.
I can't.
Not if they're the second seed, not if they're the third seed.
It's just because of the expectation coming into this season and because I'm looking at the future, too.
But can it change? Like, I think for most, I'm assuming this, for most Kings fans, that because you had this much success all season long, and I get it, you made the playoffs, everything else, got to win a round. They're number two.
Yeah.
If they got Minnesota in the first round or they have Dallas in the first round, you got a legitimate shot.
I agree with you. You can't be the they could be the number two. They're almost certainly going to be the number three unless Phoenix gets – there's just not enough games really to reel them in at this point.
Yeah.
They're gonna be a high – they're going to have home court advantage. They should win this thing.
But I don't think the players are satisfied. I think they have more of a hunger than the fans.
Light the beams, Lee. Light the beam. The bleam. You guys should start calling it the bleam.
They did.
Light the bleam.
There should also be multiple beams for each playoff series that you eventually maybe would win.
But silver, purple, white, black? I mean, is there a black beam?
If we get there.
I don't know. I mean, it's at night. It's going to be
cool. Yeah, they only light it during
it's
the
on.
Day.
It's on.
But also only if they win. Guys, you can't do it dark. For each game, but it's only if they win.
When the sun comes up, we do the black beam. The sun goes down, we do the white beam.
24 hours.
The beam.
The electricity
always
bill.
Lit along the way. So watching the Dodgers and Padres in spring training yesterday, Slee, and I got a question for you about when I should start to get excited about this. It's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Imaging Tuesday with Travis and Sliwa. So apparently, Amanda was giving me the breakdown. You will have a 1 minute tonight for Pau Gasol's retirement ceremony. So the open, it'll be a compressed open.
Compressed open. Yep.
We'll throw to you.
So when the open is done, I have 1 minute?
You have 1 minute to hit the mark.
Got it.
So you don't want to screw it up. You
but
don't want to go.
This is if things are on time. You have to remember that these things never go on time.
You don't want to. You don't want to. It's like front loading your.
You don't
want
to step on Powell. Let's just put it that way. That's the only thing you don't want.
You don't want to have 55 seconds of material on Troy Brown.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, Pat Gasol. Let's go
you
to the court.
Can't use Troy Brown. I already used that one. You gotta give a different player.
Guys, here's 55 seconds
Jared
on Bill.
Vanderbilt?
Oh, you stepped on my bed.
He doesn't know any other players.
Here's 55 seconds on Bill Sharman's glory. Oh wait, we got to go to Pau Gasol. Are you going to say now, take it away, Pau, like you're his friend?
Pau's jersey, they're already done with it. And I'm like, let's throw
it
to
Pau. You're going to have to do the play-by-play, Sliwa, of them unveiling the jersey.
Oh, yeah, wow, you just threw a lot. Maybe you just tossed this whole thing to John.
So, like, when Chris does the, you know, the voice and brings it back.
Yeah.
And tosses to you, and you're going to be like, oh, and now the spotlight is on.
Actually,
Pau's
Mario tosses to you.
In the rafters.
Then, Lee only wants a Mario toss.
Yeah,
that's in
good.
Your contract.
Then we're good.
I'm not worried about you. The timing you're gonna handle fine. Have you thought about what you're going to say? Like, are you going to say, now let's go down to the court at crypto.com for the retirement ceremony of Pau Gasol?
Here's the chain smokers.
Like, do you know what you're going to say? Or are you going to wing it in the moment? Because I would highly suggest you have a rough idea of what
you're
going to
say. I'll have framework, but you also want it to be a little bit organic, right? A little bit of
I don't think you do in this moment.
Organic with the framework.
This is.
You can do a combo of the both. You can kind of have. You can have
it's
an
not a shot.
Outline.
You have an
outline of it, but you also
a shot. You need to have the organic that you're talking about because you don't know what kind of shot it's going to be, which part of the game.
Let me give you an example.
But this is just I'm handing this to you.
Let me give you an example. There's 4 seconds left in the game.
Okay.
Right. You get the ball, and you're thinking, I'm going to take 2 dribbles. I'm going to get to the basket. I'm going to shoot. Well, if they threw a double team at you and you had no idea, then you kind of have to think on the fly a little bit.
This is, you know exactly what you're throwing
to.
No,
we don't, because the timing of it could be off.
The timing of it is the variable, but what you're throwing to is not variable. It's entirely fixed.
Right. It's not going to be a different jersey.
That's what I'm saying. So this is why you should probably consider
your toss. Well, but he could be. There is a person who is going to be there who I'm not going to name, who is introducing Pau. So that's probably who you're going to want to throw
to. Let's go down to the court
for
the retirement ceremony of Pau Gasol's jersey.
No, he's most likely not throwing directly to Pau.
Oh, so now you got a variable toss. This is a variable toss.
Got your back.
You know, we have an outline. We've been given an outline, but it doesn't have all of the specifics.
I think Chris wants like a script.
During Super Crosstalk in about 35 minutes, I would ask John, Ireland, you know, he's done this, okay? And when you haven't done something before, Slee, and you're on live radio, you're on the Lakers radio network actually at that moment.
He had to do it
pregame for Kobe's last game.
Oh, you did?
No, Ireland did.
Oh, well, John's a professional, So I would ask John during Super Crosstalk. We'll all be here to remind you to ask John.
Nobody,
don't worry.
Sliwa, nobody ever gets it right.
I'm not. Everything will be fine. I just love how Chris is so dedicated.
Well, I needed a bit to get through the day.
Almost hoping that it doesn't work out.
I'm trying to help. I think
Sliwa,
my
faith
advice
in you.
Was good.
Thank you. We could call Sedano, too. You know, he does a lot of national radio now, too. Anyway,
it's
coming up at 12:30.
I'm excited about it now.
Coming up at 12:30, I'll tell you about where you need to be on the first day of March Madness. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Travis and Sliwa continues right now.
So I was watching
March Madness tournament.
Yes.
Yeah.
You caught me a little flat-footed right there.
Yesterday when we were talking about it.
Yeah. What about
You're just like, I want it to be the same way I feel like 15 years ago it was.
30.
That long? No, for me it was 15. 15 years ago, I used to get so excited. Maybe because San Diego State can't win a tournament game, that has a lot to do with it. But
I know you're doing a bit, but honestly, it has nothing to do
product,
with any
the product.
It's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. But I'm going to try very, very hard to get on the UCLA bandwagon because it's local. Because they're good. Theoretically, they should be able to get on a little bit of a run here. So I'm going to try. But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to turn it on. The score is going to be 19-17 at the half of one of these games, and I'm going to be out. That's what it is.
It's not even good defense because nobody could hit a bucket.
We're going to pass it around. We're going to set 900 screens. It's like, just can we just have somebody
we're
going to
run the clock out? There's 16 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, it's not great. Anything else on the tournament that you want to throw in there?
That is literally
it. Yeah, it's Hopefully we get a couple of Cinderellas for a day or two.
That will happen. No, we'll that will always happen.
North Carolina and UCLA and Michigan State or whoever's good. I don't
we'll
even know
the,
who's good.
We'll have the St. Peter's Peacocks again, maybe.
At halftime.
At half, that's pretty good.
At halftime, there's going to be a 15-2, and it's going to be, oh, my gosh, the 15 is within 6 points.
But see, that's
and then
the
all
point.
That hype's going to go up.
That what you just described
I'll probably
is
watch the end of that game.
1998, and I'm with you on that. Yeah. Now it's like, what do I care? The number two, I don't know a single guy on the number two. Before, when you're going to take out Grant Hill, you have my full attention. When you're going to take out Sean Elliott.
It's really just the programs, right?
It's the names. It's like these things that I don't know a play. I don't know a college basketball player other than the kid at Alabama who's in trouble. Still don't even know his name. I just know he's in a really weird spot. I know a couple of the guys at UCLA. And outside of that, I don't know. I know one of the guys at San Diego State because I went to the game on Saturday. His last name is Ladie. He's number 13. He's pretty good. Big, strong. That's it.
How's your voice?
I'm great.
Just on a Tuesday doing that. Doing the peacock, I get nervous.
Oh no, fine.
Get nervous for you.
I had a salad for lunch yesterday. A lot of water. I'm fully ready to go.
By the way, the Ravens have released a statement about the franchise tagging Lamar Jackson. They said there have been many instances across the league with the Baltimore when a player has been designated with the franchise tag and signed a long-term deal that same year. We will continue to negotiate in good faith with Lamar, and we are hopeful that we can strike a long-term deal that is both fair to Lamar and to the Ravens. Our ultimate goal is to build a championship team with Lamar Jackson leading the way for many years to come.
It's a really weird spot that they're in because I understand Lamar's position. He wants to get paid like one of the best quarterbacks in football because you can make a case that he is. If I'm the Ravens, if I'm staking out my position with the Ravens, right, my position would be, listen, we haven't done a lot of winning with you. You are a running quarterback first who running quarterbacks do not get better the older they get. We've had the worst performing wide receivers in football. Everybody's pointing at the wide receivers. Oh, these guys aren't. Well, how about the guy that's throwing him the ball? Maybe that's a part of it as well. That he's super exciting. But is he great? He's very, very good. Like, this is one of these. He runs. He's getting older. He takes shots. We don't move the ball really well through the air. At some point, he's going to have to be a guy that moves the ball through the air. We haven't made a bunch of Super Bowl runs or gotten close to Super Bowls.
Sure.
What exactly am I paying top dollar for? Patrick Mahomes.
He's been an MVP. That's the main thing.
And he should have been. When I saw him at the Coliseum against the Rams that season, he won the MVP. I remember Kirk and I looking at each other like, what in the world are we looking at right here? He was unreal. They also lost in the first round of the playoffs that year.
They've won one playoff game. He's played in four.
That's what I mean. This is not Patrick. This isn't even Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, knocking on wood, at 35 is going to be the same guy, only better than he was at 25. That's not true of Lamar Jackson. It's not.
So this is, by the way, is that not the best thing for everybody? Let him hit that open market. Let's see what other teams would be willing to pay. And Baltimore Ravens are in a position where they can match it or they could decide.
I wonder what
let
the
him
market
go.
For him is, right? Like, if the Ravens are, what's the number, $34 million and change, which a lot of money, obviously. We're talking about Derek Carr yesterday. Got $25 million a year.
100 guaranteed,
100
right?
guaranteed. Is there a team that is a court? Tennessee. The Jets. Is there one of these teams that we think have a lot of good players, but maybe he's missing a quarterback?
And are looking at him as
Raiders.
The Raiders. Mm-hmm. Exactly right, Em. The Raiders. Mm-hmm. Or is this one of those teams that the Raiders, by the way, tell me Lamar Jackson wouldn't look awesome in a Raider jersey.
I already see him
would be amazing.
In a Raider jersey.
But is he the answer to that particular problem? I don't know. Doesn't feel like it.
Feels like you have to have. But by the way, this is the situation for most quarterbacks in the league. There's got to be a little bit of everything, right? You got to have the right coach. You got to write the right offensive line. You got to have, there's things that you need. If he walks into a situation where everything is in turmoil, that's not going to help him. Baltimore's a very well-run organization, right? They have been.
Yeah.
So maybe they got the best of him, but I think the question that you just proposed of what the market is for him, it's a fair question. We'll find out.
But think about it like this, too. Which is of all the teams in the league, who knows him the best? Baltimore, right? Who's deciding you're not going to that $40 million something number? We're not doing that.
Baltimore.
Right? So that if I were one of the other teams, that would inform my decisions. That would inform my decision a great deal because you know what he's gives you and what he's likely to give you moving forward, and you're saying, it's a little too much for me. I'm using that information to inform my own decisions.
But not everybody is the Baltimore Ravens and has a good organization and makes smart decisions. And all you need is one person to overpay or decide, I want Lamar Jackson representing our jersey.
He's incredibly exciting. He'd be incredibly marketable. You'd be on TV a lot, and I don't know if you'd win a lot of games.
And to be honest with you, there are plenty of teams that might look at that and say that's good enough. Not plenty, but a few.
You can have a good record with him. It's just, I don't know if you're going to win a lot of playoff games.
Washington. Like, I'm trying to find these places that have very glaring quarterback problems.
And if he doesn't want to move very far from where he lives right now.
Right. That Washington kind of tracks.
Atlanta is not interested, though. That would be a place that
Atlanta would track
but
a lot.
Dan Orsini says that they weren't interested.
What about Miami? There's all sorts of rumors that Miami's not all in on Tua. Tua's got all sorts of health problems. He's from Florida. Like, there are some places. Somebody's going to pay him and be like, I can't believe we paid
Tampa
Lamar.
Bay.
And like you just said right there. Just takes one.
Yep.
One to overpay.
I want my team to be the team that's willing to let somebody that if you don't buy it, I'm okay with you. Like if you just and
sure.
I was bummed to see him leave. But this isn't a perfect example because Lamar Jackson is better at what he does than the name I'm about to drop on you. The Dodgers basically looked at Justin Turner and said, look, we can't go to a second year. If you want to do it at this price, we'll do it. But you're a fan favorite. We know everybody loves you. But we're going to live with you going somewhere else at a price that we don't think is smart.
Well, and you don't even have to go, even if it's – and I don't think it just came down to money, but Trey Turner, you could look at Seager.
All
you could look
guys.
At guys that were getting a ton of money, and the Dodgers made the decision of, no, let's not go with that.
All right, speaking of, we'll come back, talk a little bit about that Dodger-Padre game from yesterday and – when can we get excited about that moving forward? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you hear that music, well, first off, you know it's Live Imaging Tuesday with Travis and Sliwa.
Lit.
But also, the madness is coming. And we're waiting for Slee, as usual, to return to the studio.
Maybe he's trying to summon Bill Sharman. He's in the hallway with the board. He's moving it around. You know? We were thinking maybe you took some time to go try to summon Bill Sharman with your Ouija board.
I'll buy it just for that.
Bill, how do you think I should...
Every night you'll communicate.
How should I toss at halftime tonight? By the way, I just got the text. You're going to be on Sedano and Cap. So you're on the spot this afternoon. So they can give you some tips too.
Well, I mean, I'm on there every game.
I know. Anyway, we're playing this music because March Madness is coming. The Madness, the big dance. And the first day, Thursday, March 16th, party, party, oh party, we are taking over Yamaha Resort and Casino, the 909, their newest sports bar, for a tournament tip-off party. That means we will broadcast from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. So make plans now to be at Yamaha with us that Thursday, March 16th, to tip off the big dance together. Oh, here comes the hook. You ready? You ready, Sleek? Can you feel it? It's going to be a fun day. Thursday, March 16th at Yamaha. Slee's going to wear a San Diego State Aztecs jersey.
Do you have one?
No, just have a shirt, not a jersey.
Do you have a hat?
Hat I have, yeah.
Oh, well, you got to wear the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll wear the gear. And we're not going to know. We'll see. You say maybe
you'll
a
know
fifth
Sunday
seed,
night.
Something like that.
That's why they call it Selection Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably be about a fifth seed. I'm with you.
Five or six.
If you're 20th right now in the country, you'll be around there.
It could be a six. They could get a little RPI in sync.
Huh. Anyway, yeah, Selection Sunday. We should do a Slee Selection Sunday show.
Slee Selection
then you'd
Sunday
have to
what
toss.
Does he select?
I don't know. You'd have to toss all nonstop to like ESPN. Now back for the West bracket.
Yeah, we go to Seth Greenberg, who's breaking down the South.
Jay Billis. Jay Billis is my guy. That's my go-to.
All right. Be sure to be there Thursday, March 16th, and then Saturday, March 18th for pickleball. You got your whole 4 days with us. That four-day weekend. Make it with us. Right?
Absolutely.
There you go. Travis at Sliwa continues now.
And we've got a new date on our calendar to go do a little pickleball Monday.
I texted Yates.
Is he in?
I don't know. I don't know if
blow
he's
you off
in.
Like he blew me off today.
He may very well now kind of the power's back in.
Well, look, it's always.
Oh, no, he's coming. Yeah, he's coming.
Oh, he's in. Yeah. Okay. Because it's fun to be invited to things and then say no. That's that's the best combination of events. Hey, would you like to come? You know, I'd really like to, but no.
He did all caps. I'm sorry. What was that? And then I'd love to.
There you go. Right, so you got your. Oh, so who are you going to play with? Are you going to play with Clinton?
I'll probably play with Yates. It doesn't matter. Actually, that four is a perfect mix,
however it is. Can I offer just a little bit? Even though, I mean, you should play with Matt, because Matt is going to be more similar to me than Yates.
That's awesome. It's awesome. The size, the height, all that.
Listen, when I see Matt Burke, I go, man, that's Travis.
Tall? Tall, athletic,
lean. I mean, very lean.
No, he's leaner than me. Tall, college athletes.
Should I tell him also?
You wouldn't know what that's about, Chris.
Should I tell him also? Should I say, listen, don't move much?
Right.
Because you've already told me you're not going to be moving much.
Matt and I were talking yesterday because he's been playing a little bit too. That ball that's down by our feet for a tall person, a little bit of a challenging ball.
No, that's not easy.
A little bit of a challenging ball.
We got to get Matt in here if he's listening in the back. So we can take a side-by-side comparison. Because you guys are twins. I mean, I can't even tell you apart.
Yeah, we do. I think we are pretty similar.
Conceptually, I get where you're going with this.
I think we're very similar. Just tell me that other than I'm a little heavier than him.
No, actually, I would go the other way. I think he's heavier than you.
No, that's not true. So you guys are doing a bit. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that's how it goes.
But that was a real kind of breakdown there where you're like, no, don't play the eights. Here's why you go with it.
Should we get Scottie Pippen to come and play for Chris?
Yes.
Get Scottie Pippen. See, that's ridiculous. Me and Matt are very similar. He's just a little leaner than me and 3 inches taller. Maybe not three, maybe two.
And probably, what do you think, he's 26, 27 years old?
He's half my age.
Yeah, he's half your age.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I will say it would be better to do that simply for what you just said. But I don't. But that,
all
that's,
of my ideas are good.
That's already going too far with any of it because the fact that
you asked the most.
We could very easily just get out there, play for an hour, and then we're done.
An hour? Look, if this thing goes the way that it's probably going to go, we could be done in 20 minutes.
No. Thursday we'll play for an hour.
I thought you were talking about
I was going to say, an hour is not that much.
No. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the actual tournament, which is coming up March 18th.
9 minutes, it's over.
Agape Pickleball Center, Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. Reserve seating is available. You can register at ESPNLA.com. The event is open to the public. You can come on out and hang out with us. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. There's a pickleball clinic. There's a kid zone. There's a beer garden. There's complimentary food and drink. There's a DJ. There's basically all sorts of things to do. TVs to watch the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So I think you and I will be able to watch a lot of basketball.
It's a good chance.
If we make it a half an hour, like now I'm not even trying to win a match. I'm just trying to extend whatever match we're in beyond 15 minutes.
What changed with you? Because early on, you were like, hey, Al, we can't be out. You know, we can't be when the first one's out.
It's easy.
And now it's, yeah, but do you got that much confidence in everybody else here?
No, but I have no confidence in myself. That's what's changed, right? Like I have... There are a couple of things that I know that I can do reasonably well. Like if this were just ping pong and I don't have to move a ton, I would not say I'm the best ping pong player here, but I know I'm not the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm somewhere north of the middle. I'm south of the middle in this game. That's what I'm worried about. Yeah, and unless you're really, really good at it, we're in deep trouble.
All I've seen is Berg, Jorge, and AK so far. And I think all of them would give me indication that, it's anybody's game.
Get him in here. Hurry up. Come in here. We need to do this.
Burke's going to play Thursday.
Sit down a second. I want to talk about this for a second before we get it. So you and I were having the conversation yesterday about pickleball, right? Yeah. And we were both talking about how, as tall people, how tall are you?
6'6".
You're 6'6". Okay, so you're 3 inches taller than I am. Okay. And I said, when you guys are going to play on Thursday... that you guys should play together because it more closely resembles when I'm going to play with Al, tall player with Allen, right? And everybody was giving me a hard time because they don't think that you and I look anything alike. What do you think about that?
I think so. I think you could also be my team, you know, sexy, classy, just like Chris.
See? Am I that far off that, you're taller than I am and maybe you're in a little bit better shape and you're half my age, but I think that if we walked around, people would think, are you guys brothers?
Absolutely, your big brother.
I think you have a much bigger brother.
I think you had a conceptual idea there, but let's not go as that's my brother.
Why not?
Let's not go as...
Why?
Yeah, why don't you guys get a little closer together?
We'll, we'll take a picture during the break.
Yeah.
I want to hear it from your lips. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys just don't look anything alike.
Sure we do. We're both tall.
Trav, you have a little more meat on your body.
A little bit more meat on the body.
I've already stipulated that I'm a little heavier than Matt, a little older.
I think Burke, once he's out there, it's going to actually look like somebody who is, how old are you, 26, 27?
27. I'll be
27
he's young and athletic.
I'm old and athletic. What are you talking about?
Has a dad bod.
It's like the Kelce brothers.
Thank you, Taylor.
Oh, jeez.
Taylor's probably pretty athletic too, though.
Yeah, see?
Now that would be a much better... Now we're.
What do you mean?
Nah, it's a little.
You are a college athlete, right?
Yeah.
Me too.
And you, yeah.
Yeah. See, the similarities basically never stop.
Identical.
Yeah.
It's identical.
Work at the same place.
Similar interests.
Burke, I'll probably play a couple rounds with you, but yeah. I whatever that four looks like. Yates is in, so we got our four. Ron is in. But I get the concept. We'll play with you a couple times, so I kind of get an idea of having.
You really, you just refuse to call me fat, don't you?
No, I'm not going to call
Big
you.
Big bone.
Yeah. You just have a dad bod.
Well, no. I call myself that all the time. It's okay.
You demolished yourself on Saturday with the red shirt, the Kool-Aid.
I look
you
like went, Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah.
And I was like
crashing through a brick wall.
I was like, no, you're fine.
It's okay. You know, when you're friends with somebody, you can be a little mean to them. It's a sign of affection. When you don't say something mean to somebody, it means I really don't like you at all.
Yeah, that's why I don't say anything mean.
So that's what I'm starting to get from you, that you have absolutely no
I like the way you flip that. Hey, if you don't say anything mean, you actually don't like me.
Right.
What are you doing?
That's what...
No. Just Matt, tell him he's
your
beefy.
Friends, do you crush your buddies?
Oh, yeah. That means you love them, you know?
Right.
You're closest to the ones you can really lay into.
Exactly.
You're thick.
Closer.
How many
with C's? Two C's.
Yeah.
Two. We got two C's for sure.
You're thick fan XL.
I like you trying to stick up for me, Matt. Thank
Anytime,
you.
Anytime, man.
I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Use your partner for Team Sexy, what is it?
Sexy Classy. It's
Sexy
Morales.
Classy.
Same, that's we haven't figured out who's who yet.
I was just, you beat me to it.
Morales is going to be calling the games and playing. He's going to have a hot mic on while he's
Chris
playing.
What if Chris decides that he has more MC responsibilities than playing responsibilities?
We're going to have to bring
somebody. Do you have a backup?
In. No, we don't yet, actually.
Sleep?
Chris, though, might.
You should, after we get bounced, you should go play with Matt.
Bro, we got to have. I think we can win a round. Win one round. It's all going to come down to our seeding. It's all going to come down to who we play against. Jorge and Berg. I think it's a good match.
I thought it was a good match until I played a few times, and I'm bad at this. I want
your confidence level is just.
So I went out with my buddy Brad, and we're
but
playing.
But you played once,
and
right? You didn't play twos.
We did play once. And the first time, I kind of hung around with him, right? Like, he beat me, but it wasn't embarrassing.
Yep.
Next time we played, kind of lopsided. And then the third time we went out there, he wiped the court with me. So I'm getting worse. It's going
AK
in the wrong direction.
Good. AK was pretty good.
I find that hard to believe.
See, that looks pretty intense.
That means I like Andy. That I gave him a hard time.
Pretty good.
Means that I like Andy. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Philip Rivers, Slee, that Philip Rivers of your San Diego Chargers and then briefly with the LA Chargers, contacted both the Dolphins and 49ers last year about unretiring and joining their teams. There's always that guy, right? A guy or two that is just left the league that's probably well past the time where he can be an effective player. But the question becomes, is Philip Rivers a better option than Josh Johnson? Is Philip Rivers a better option than, quite frankly, Bryce Perkins or John Wolford? Those are the sorts of questions that those guys can kind of slide in and grab one of those gigs.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's Philip Rivers contacting the teams.
Right.
It's not the teams contacting him. It's like a sales pitch that he's putting out. Yeah, I've been in the league for
it's
a
like
long
MLB's
time.
Interview. The only Philip Rivers Zoom was open. The teams didn't turn
only
on their
that
cameras.
Video was on. That's pretty funny. I think you kind of have a good idea. In the NFL, the quarterback position is everything. So if you could just have a steady quarterback that's been in the situation before, I get his pitch, but I also get that nobody gave him an opportunity past. How many years was he in the league?
It's got to be close to 20, right? I mean, it's at least 15.
Least 15.
Yeah,
you're
I was
right
going to say it's probably somewhere 16, 17, somewhere in there. And look, he was really, really good. I think he's going to be one of those guys, Slee, that if you weren't a Charger fan, whether San Diego or Los Angeles,
yeah,
he's going to get lost to the time. Because he didn't win a Super Bowl. You're never going to see those old Super Bowl highlight
videos.
And his
draft class won Super Bowls.
And he was, he's got great numbers, but the numbers won't stand because the league obviously is changing and everybody's throwing for a million yards. He was really, really good, but just kind of never got over the top like that.
17 years, I think. One with Indy, so yeah, 17 years.
He was terrific. Sticking with quarterbacks, did you see where the Niners are kicking tires on quarterbacks coming into this season? You see the names that they're thinking about bringing in to kind of backstop Purdy and Lance, potentially?
I have not seen it.
Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton, and there's one other that I'm forgetting.
Baker Mayfield.
These are the guys, and there's one more, too. Oh, Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are probably thinking, all right, maybe if Brock Purdy's elbow doesn't heal in time and maybe if Trey Lance has a bit of a slow step or a slow recovery, maybe there's an opportunity because Matt Ryan and Andy Dalton were about as washed as NFL quarterbacks as you're ever going to see.
Yeah, I mean, how many quarterbacks did the Niners end up using over the course of
– Four.
Four of them, right?
They used four. So did the Rams.
Rams used four as
yeah,
well.
The difference is they went to the NFC Championship game. A little bit different. The Rams were...
How about Purdy in that NFC Championship? Literally couldn't do anything.
Well, he got his elbow torn
literally,
off.
And it was still out there and still handing the ball off.
That was one of those you should have probably gone to Christian McCaffrey running the single wing. Or the punter, or whoever was out there.
Tried something
because
else.
That didn't work. Staying with quarterbacks again. Today was the day in 2016 that Peyton Manning retired from the NFL. Emily and I were talking about this morning. To me, it seems like Peyton Manning was in the NFL far more recently than 7 years ago. She felt like he had retired a really long time ago.
Yeah, it feels like it's so long since Peyton's been in the league.
What about you?
Seven seems that's about right. That's about right. I was such a fan. Every time there was a matchup, him obviously and Tom Brady, it was always that was so much bigger than the actual teams and anything else was those two guys. But seven sounds about right. Maybe I see what you're saying, that it seems like he was in the league a little bit sooner. And I could also kind of understand that. No, it must have been over 10 years ago. Seven sounds about right.
If you would have told me, and I know he's in the Hall of Fame, so that's at least 5 years. But if you would have told me, yeah, they gave him a waiver and he's only been out of the league 3 years, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I believe you. It did not seem like he's been out a long time.
It also feels to me like, oh, it could have happened in 2010. It could have been 12 years ago
that
happened.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that to me. What do you think he does? Obviously, he's got his Monday Night Football gig that is very successful
and
very popular.
And a lot of people trying to kind of copy that concept.
Yeah, Peyton's Places. He has a lot of other media.
I would think for somebody with his resume and his accomplishments and knowing that he can do the Manning Cast and it's a hit, that he can do Peyton Places and it's a hit. Is media what he wants to do? That seems like a low bar for somebody of Peyton Manning's skill set. That he's good on TV. He obviously is great on TV. But what does he do? Does he want to run a team? Does he want to run the league? Like what is the next big job for Peyton Manning? Because he's very bright, very personable, super popular. What does he do?
When you said that to join a media company – or, you know, whatever the network's,
being
right?
On TV is too easy of a job
I was going to say, I'm like, no, that doesn't – I don't think that for his skill set
– being on TV is the right job for Eli.
How about this? Last week we were talking about this. Best people to host on SNL mm-hmm. athletes. And for me, I thought Peyton right away. Like, he's that good where he can do that.
Sure.
I don't know. You see him in a front office anywhere?
Denver.
Further up. An ownership group. That's, to me, what is intriguing. Like, maybe, I don't know if he's got ownership money, but not unlike what Magic has done with the Dodgers, right? Where he's part of a group where he's kind of the front man for the ownership group, at least to a point. And, oh, by the way, maybe I have my thumb in the management of the football team from a football perspective. But this is a very shrewd guy. This is a very smart guy that can do a lot of different things. Yucking it up on Monday Night Football seems like a low bar for him.
Also, another low-key thing that I would like to see him do, or that if he did it, I would be like, this is really cool. If he was like a showrunner on some sort of like dramatized NFL show, like a similar thing to Winning Time, but if he was the showrunner of something similar to Winning Time, but from football, I think that'd be kind of funny.
You're too young to remember. They did that, and the show was awesome, and it was way too real. And the NFL said, you know what would be a good idea? If that show didn't exist anymore. And that show went
But if it was gone. Peyton doing it, would they?
Well, that's the point. But the point is, for the show to be the show that we all want, I think, Peyton would not give up that. Do you remember that show, Slate Playmakers?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. It was on ESPN. It was a dramatized version of a professional football league, and they let it rip.
Mm.
And the NFL went, no, we're fine with it, but you know, we don't love it.
Or maybe like, and he could do the high school level, like yeah. Friday Night Lights, but funny.
I could see.
It went away like that.
There's power right there.
Yeah, they went, it's all right.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take that off.
Yeah.
I can't see him. I don't know if I could see him like a John Lynch role. I don't think I see him doing that either. Yeah, I agree with you. No, I agree with you.
He strikes
a general
me.
Manager role. I'm with you. I don't see him doing that.
Let me throw a big one at you.
But then, listen, the ownership stake, the 5%, 10%, something like that.
Peyton Manning be a good commissioner of the league? He's certainly got the gravitas. He's certainly got the name. Does he have – he understands media really, really well. I don't know if he understands the business side of it, but
he probably does.
I think he might.
He probably
but would
does.
We start to hate him? And I don't want to see that happen with Peyton Manning.
Perhaps. And that's a good point, Em. But it's also a job that seems like something that would hold his attention. That's he loves the NFL, right? You remember his Hall of Fame induction speech was mm-hmm. about this league has given me everything that I have.
I think you did nail it on the, no, that's not good enough. Okay, what's next? Higher. No, that's not good enough. What's
yeah,
next?
Higher.
Commissioner, owner. That's interesting.
That seems like where it is. I would be remiss if I didn't wish Jenna Fischer a very happy 49th birthday. One of my favorite TV shows. She's one of my favorite characters on said TV show. And
that's your girl.
If Jenna Fischer's in something, I'll watch it.
That's okay. Have you watched? What have you watched that she's been in?
I've seen most of the movies that she's been in. Certainly, okay. All the mainstream movies.
Splitting Up Together. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yep.
Terrible show. Watched every episode.
What about the Blue Man?
You love her. I hated the show.
There was
when
the
I
one where she
episode.
Actually like met her husband doing it. It's like the Blue Man thing.
I don't know that.
The Robot Man. It's like a very indie film.
Okay.
And that's what she and her husband did together. That's kind of how yeah. they.
I don't
know what Travis is doing tonight.
Yeah. watching Splitting Up Together film. Was not good, and I think I've seen every episode more than once. Big Jenna Fischer fan. That's what I'm telling you. It's time for a little super crosstalk. Woo, 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 woo. AK in the house for Mason today. Ireland is here.
So I did not know your history with Jenna Fischer, so I'm guessing you're a big Office fan.
Yes, I am.
All right, so you guys know Ryan Russillo, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
The biggest and maybe only argument I've ever had with Russillo is he is convinced and will defend his argument that the character of Pam Beasley in The Office is evil.
I've heard this.
That, you know, she's kind of America's sweetheart. She finally ends up with John Krasinski, with Jim. And Russillo's take is, hold it. She was engaged to Roy,
yes.
her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. She cheats on him behind his back, goes with Jim, who had a girlfriend. Jim was with Rashida Jones.
Yep.
Breaks up that relationship. And then basically emasculates Jim for the whole second half of The Office and makes him do whatever she wants. And he's
not a bad take.
Yeah, he says that he doesn't understand why she's popular because she's kind of evil. The other thing I heard, I was listening to do you guys ever listen to the Rewatchables podcast?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So basically it's Bill Simmons and all the folks at Grantland go back over
the Ringer
movies.
The Ringer.
Oh, thank you. Grantland. Wow, that's old school. That was Bill's last site. So at the Ringer, three of the girls, I think it was Mallory Rubin and Juliet Littman. The other weird take is that Becca from Pitch Perfect is horrible.
She's the lead. That's Anna Kendrick's
character. Anna Kendrick in that movie is a bad friend, bad daughter.
That's true.
Bad girlfriend.
I'll sign up for that one. I'll sign up for that.
Bad everything. Well, that she's just the whole list of the podcast. She comes out of that movie as kind of the hero. Their whole take is Becca sucks.
Well, yeah. I'm far more agreeable to that than anything negative about Jenna Fischer.
The Pam and Jim thing, the reason why I get the take, but it's because they had the history, is because he leaves that office and has to go to the New York office.
That's another point of Russillo's. She ruined his life to the point where he had to leave town to get away from her.
But then when he comes back, right, she basically goes out of her way to sabotage the relationship
Correct.
She has with Rashida Jones.
Right. And she screws over Roy, who admittedly had a temper.
Well, you guys have heard before, I guess it would be sort of the alternate fan fiction or however you want to put this, that in The Karate Kid, Daniel LaRusso is really the villain.
It's not the alternate version. It's the truth.
Right. Like, because if you, they present
Wait, which one?
The first one.
The first one. How is he the
Let's
villain?
Hear it.
Because
Let's hear it.
All
Let's
they're
it.
Doing is they come down to the beach. He picks a fight with Billy Zabka. Then he ruins his joint at the dance. Then he goes out of his way to constantly antagonize. They never pick on him until he starts picking on them.
In the beginning, too, you hear.
What are you talking about? Wait a minute. What about the Halloween
on,
party?
He, yeah, doesn't he right. get picked he on the whole time?
He actually started it.
He does. He
they're in the bathroom rolling a joint. Yeah. He's the Minding one who puts their own the hose in there and soaks it. That's when they attack him after they ruined his joint.
Plus, at the top,
I gotta go
of
back
it,
and watch.
At the top of it too, when you first see Johnny Lawrence and the moped gang, he's talking about how it's his senior year. He just wants to get it together. He turns down a beer, like he's offered a beer. Maybe he had a problem before partying too hard. He just wants to get things together during his senior year. And LaRusso is actually the instigator. And all of this stuff, by the way, carries through to Cobra Kai.
Well, Cobra Kai, he actually is kind of a bad guy, right?
Daniel never lets anything go. He's always in the middle of instigating these things that basically ruin his children's life.
Yes.
Like, he's actually kind of a bad dude.
Next, you're going to tell me Mr. Miyagi was a bad guy, too.
No, he was
And
great.
A bad influence.
No, Daniel did not take the Miyagi message to heart.
No, if
he was an instigator.
If anything, Johnny Lawrence, especially as time has gone along, has been much more of a Miyagi-Do student, even if he doesn't realize it. He didn't even know it, but he actually subscribes to more of the Miyagi principles. He at least wants to be a better person, even if he's incapable of it. Daniel's the guy that has everything and can't ever be happy.
All right, certainly back to
Don't have to convince me, Andy.
Okay, certainly back to Pitch Perfect. Another hot take from Pitch Perfect. At the end, didn't the trebles actually outperform the girls?
The Bellas?
The Bellas. Weren't the trebles better?
I've never seen Pitch Perfect.
I don't.
What?
I've seen it.
Andy, that should be.
I have not seen it either.
What? None. There's been three of them. You haven't seen any of them?
Mm-mm.
They get progressively
I've only
worse.
Seen the third.
You've seen all of them.
Yeah,
right?
And you're completely
watch
right.
One of them?
The boys were
I've
so much better.
All three of them.
Did I watch one of them?
No, you would not like it.
What are you talking? No, the original Pitch Perfect is fantastic. You'll like for nothing else than Rebel Wilson calls herself Fat Amy for the whole movie and makes fat jokes about herself. And
do you like musicals?
Because as you know, Sleed, this is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Do I?
It's okay to say no.
Did I see Book of Mormon because of you? Did you?
Yeah,
tell
I'm,
me to
I'm
see
the world's
it?
Biggest Book of Mormon fan. And did you like it?
It was unbelievable.
Did you like it because it was a musical or because it was funny?
Oh, it was funny as hell.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not going
I
to
lean
Oklahoma
more towards,
and South Pacific.
But that was
in your
everything.
Spare time.
No, I'm not.
Unlike this guy over here.
T-Raj, I'm not. You're right.
Yeah.
But that was also just shocking. Every 1 minute that went by, I was more amazed at what was happening.
That's not the entry to musicals, though. That is a comedy as a musical. Musicals are Oklahoma, South Pacific,
yeah.
These sorts
Sound
of
Music.
Yeah, Sound of Music. And I don't think
so
it's
I would
for
not
you,
probably lean on that.
I don't think it's for
no,
you.
No, I think you would. Do me a favor. Sometime in the next. Emily, don't you think Sleewood would like the first Pitch Perfect? The other two are a little.
She's not listening to you, John.
Oh, she's in the middle of something.
I did The Wire because of John.
Wire's
That's
very good.
It's a little different. Did you jump from
there's
Pitch
only,
Perfect to The Wire?
I'm giving him credit for what he suggested.
There's only three musical numbers in all five seasons of The Wire combined, Alan. That's a right. terrible example.
No, okay, so unique.
It was
musical.
A suggestion that John gave me.
Okay, unique musical fact about The Wire.
Omar!
Okay. The title song from The Wire is a song called Way Down in a Hole.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only show that I've ever seen do this. Five different versions of Way Down in the Hole for each of the five seasons.
Different artists.
So if you go, it's the same song, just different renditions of it every year.
Yeah.
And they're all good. So I thought that was a really unique kind of cool thing that they did.
John, I'm going to lean on your expertise here for a second. Not on musicals, but okay. on Lakers stuff for okay. a second. And not necessarily basketball, but rather the ceremony that's going to take place today.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you say, Slee, you're totally covered here. They're, first of all, I don't know. Amanda was saying that she thought that's if they're on time. They have to be on time.
They get fined if they're not, right?
Yeah, it's at halftime. So and by the way,
TV
nobody
clock or whatever.
Yeah, nobody mm-hmm. does ceremony like the Lakers. They're great at it. You can rip the Lakers for front office moves or, you know, why did they give Nick Young money or whatever. Anytime the Lakers have to put on a show, even if it's shrouded
Nick Young catching strays.
Yeah.
Nick Young listening saying, what the hell just happened here?
But they will, you will have.
Left the team 7 years ago.
The clock, I'll throw it, the first half will end. I'll throw it to a break. You got a minute to kind of get your act together, and then you're going to have a minute, and they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have to worry about anything.
Now, Chris just wants to create the drama of it.
Uh oh, here comes Chris.
Well, that's his job. He's a drama creator. What a misery profiteer, whatever the terminology we're using.
But John, how would you, as a professional,
yeah,
you've done this many times, how would you toss to this? Because I think that's what we're worried about, Slee.
Well, what you have to do is, and Chris knows this from radio DJ days, is you've got to smack the open. In other words, there can't be like 30 seconds of, and now here's Lawrence Tanner, and then we wait 30
silence.
Seconds.
Yeah. You got to kiss it.
You got to walk right up to it.
Got to hit the post.
And then, right, hit the post is what they say in the business. But you'll be fine.
Can Lawrence give me a?
No, just watch him.
You don't want to step on it, right, John? Yeah. As we say in the business,
just watch him. You'll get a good sense of it. By the way, if you want to, there's a run through. Would that help you?
I'll probably be there anyways. Because if they're doing a run through,
you will not. But I can tell you what time it's at and where to go.
Would you?
Oh, you're saying they're not going to do it then. Yeah.
Predetermine how you're going to throw to it, or would you let the moment strike you and then just kind of win?
Yeah, I don't think you have to. I think it'll be.
Yeah, this isn't you know, Kobe's final game.
Yeah, but
this
for you, Alan, it is.
It is.
Yeah. Like, this is actually your equivalent of calling Kobe's 81, his 60, yeah. LeBron, you know, when John, his great call of LeBron becoming the all-time scoring leader.
Yep.
This is your.
They will take away my third quarter update.
I'm just saying, everybody's going to remember this. Like, if you screw this up, no one's
taking away the third quarter update because I don't want to talk.
Like, if you F this up.
When they
up,
came to me with the Rams, like, we're not going to do the first and third quarter update, I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, excellent.
Good luck.
Michael and I both want to talk less. Yeah. So, you know, that'd be good. Yeah,
good luck going to Barcelona, Alan, if you screw this up. You will never be able to go to Spain for the rest of your life.
Step foot in that country.
All right, so real quick, I kind of with on the Powell topic here. If we're stipulating that Hakeem and Dirk are two of the five greatest international players of all time.
Okay.
Okay, who are the other three?
Michael's going to love this topic.
Okay.
By the way, is that a fair stipulation that Hakeem and Dirk are automatics?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
I would agree.
I'm
ready to put Giannis in.
Okay.
Giannis is already in the top five.
We're okay with that?
I would agree with that.
What about Jokic? He's about to win his third MVP
I am ready to put Jokic in.
Michael loves Joel Embiid. As a matter of fact, Michael wanted to do something, and if he had a vote, he would do it. He said that even if Jokic wins MVP this year, which he could,
mm-hmm.
Michael would make him second team
first team All-NBA.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. But
I said to him, I go, Michael, that's never happened in the history of the league. And a guy named Tom Johnson, who used to run the local newspaper in my hometown of Corona Del Mar, texted me and said, you're wrong. It's happened once before. Kareem in 1973 was the NBA first team All-NBA center. And the MVP that year was Dave Cowens, who was second team All-NBA.
No kidding.
So it wouldn't be unprecedented if it happened.
Here's the list. And speaking of Michael, Michael's taught me that whenever there's a list, Wilt Chamberlain is on it. There are three guys that have won three consecutive MVPs. Jokic would make the fourth.
It's got to be Bird was one, right?
Bird.
Was Bill Kareem Russell. The other one or Bill Russell?
Bill Russell
okay.
and Chamberlain. And if Jokic does that, I mean, isn't he – I mean, come on, look at the company
he's
keeping.
Jokic is the best – passing big man in NBA history while putting up 20-something points a game and 10-something rebounds. I'm ready
to put
him in.
We've got Jokic, we've got Giannis,
this is
Dirk.
What
Perkins isn't impressed.
What about What about Steve Nash? Two MVPs.
Said
Steve
Kendrick Nash. Perkins isn't impressed.
By the way, let me throw Tony Parker.
I would put Nash ahead of Tony Parker.
Yeah.
Even though Tony Parker's really good.
Mm-hmm. Nash
Ginobili
is a
popped
MVP.
Into my head, but I don't think he makes top five. Right now, as we stand here, Powell has a better resume than Joel Embiid, but I think Embiid's going to pass him. Would you agree with that, Michael? Powell right now has a better resume, but Embiid eventually will pass.
I guess are we not question, throwing Luka into this at all too early?
Same thing.
But I guess that's the question. The question is, how much are you going to weigh in the championships, or do you weigh it less when you're talking about, hey, these are individual players, international players?
It's all of it. Because it's team success, it's individual success.
Some of it is just how great do you think they were?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we do have eyes. We watch the game. Sometimes championships are just circumstances.
Right.
What I learned from Powell more than anything else is that fit matters. And this is what I mean. Not everybody was built to play with Kobe. Because Kobe was so ball dominant. He was so personality dominant.
Mm-hmm.
He was so driven that he not only was he going to have the ball in the fourth quarter, if you didn't give it to him, he would come and take it. I mean, that's how...
Literally.
Yeah.
Ask Ramon Sessions how that goes.
Yeah. So Powell comes along. I still remember the day he got here, February 1st, 2008. And he had been in the playoffs in Memphis, but he didn't have any wins. He'd been swept three times, and they traded him. And he got here, and in Memphis, he was the best player on that team. And on our team, he was going to be the B to Kobe. And I realized after a couple of games that he was so much better than everybody else's B. He was almost an A-minus because he fit perfectly with Kobe, and here's why. He had a unique ability, and this is harder than it sounds, all right? There's not a lot of guys who can do this, maybe 10 in the whole world, to catch and finish with either hand.
Mm.
So I would see Kobe come flying down the lane, out of control, double, triple teamed. He would throw a pass, and no matter where he threw it, if he threw it in the general vicinity of Gasol, he could throw it at his ankles. He could throw it over his head. He could throw it behind his back. And it didn't matter. Powell would catch it. And then wherever he was when he caught it, he would spin to whatever was easier and score with either hand. And I went, wow, they're not going to be able to guard these guys. And all of a sudden I realized, well, they already are doubling Kobe. Now they're going to have to double Powell. And that was the emergence of Andrew Bynum, Lamar Odom, Derek Fisher.
Yep.
Ori.
You know, Ori's
gone. Part of the first group, yeah.
But all the other guys, Andy, became better because Powell was, he just didn't make any mistakes.
We also just underestimate how great you have to be a quality number two on a championship team. Like, most players in the league aren't that good. Like,
you have to be Anthony Davis good.
Right.
I mean, you have to be Pau Gasol good.
Like, or Dwayne Wade good.
You know, when people talk about, you know, that guy can't be the number one player on a championship team.
Yeah, there are seven of those.
Yeah, like, okay, great. Neither can 98.7%
of the NBA players.
I'll give you a great example of if he asked for a trade or got traded, who would be what Pau was to the Lakers. In other words, he's an A who hasn't been able to win where he is. But if he went to a team as a B, he would almost be an A-minus, is Lillard. If Lillard is probably not good enough to lead Portland to a championship, but if he left and went anywhere that where they had, like if he went to Milwaukee, if he was the guy going to Phoenix, if he went to Philadelphia, he would be a much better fit than even Harden is because he's so good.
I think Lillard's actually good enough. He hasn't had a team good enough around him. But I understand what you're saying.
He might be the line. He's that guy that...
I mean,
you need two A-minuses.
He made it to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble.
He's put
That's
away
as far as he's gone.
He's put away... No, he went to the Western Conference Finals not in the bubble. That was Denver.
He did. Oh, that was the year...
They played the Pelicans. Or they
played the Warriors.
It worked out.
The
Warriors. They lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Warriors, but it worked out to advantage of Portland to win a series without getting...
I don't think Dame has had a team good, like legitimately good enough.
Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Adam coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.